सप्तम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 14 चैप्टर 12 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द किलिंग ऑफ द डीमन अगासुर टेक्स्ट नंबर 14-18 दृष्ट्वार्बकान् कृष्णमुखान् अगासुर कंसानुशिष्ट सबकी बकानुज अयम् तु मे सोदरनाशकृत्तयो द्वयोर्ममैनं सबलं हनिष्ये दृष्ट्वा वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन दृष्ट्वा ट्रांसलेशन अगासुर हू हैड बीन सेंट बाय कंसा वाज द यंगर ब्रदर ऑफ पूतना एंड बगासुर देयरफॉर व्हेन ही केम एंड सा कृष्णा at the head of all the cowherd boys, he thought, this Krishna has killed my sister and brother, Putana and Bakasur. Therefore, in order to please them both, I shall kill this Krishna, along with his assistants, the other cowherd boys. We will read the next four verses till we come to a purport. Text 15. Agasur thought, if somehow or other I can make Krishna and his associates serve as the last offering of sesame and water for the departed souls of my brother and sister, then the inhabitants of Vrajabhumi, for whom these boys are the life and soul, will automatically die. If there is no life, there is no need for the body. Consequently, when their sons are dead, naturally all the inhabitants of Vraja will die. Next verse. After thus deciding, that crooked Agasur assumed the form of a huge python, as thick as a big mountain and as long as 8 miles. Having assumed this wonderful python's body, he spread his mouth like a big cave in the mountains and lay down on the road, expecting to swallow Krishna and his associates, the cowherd boys. Text number 17. His lower lip rested on the surface of the earth, and his upper lip was touching the clouds in the sky. The borders of his mouth resembled the sides of a big cave in a mountain, and the middle of his mouth was as dark as possible. His tongue resembled a broad traffic way. His breath was like a warm wind, and his eyes blazed like fire. Text number 18, translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Upon seeing this demon's wonderful form, which resembled a great python, the boys thought that it must be a beautiful scenic spot of Vrindavan. Thereafter, they imagined it to be similar to the mouth of a great python. In other words, the boys, unafraid, thought that it was a statue made in the shape of a great python for the enjoyment of their pastimes. Purport. Some of the boys, upon seeing this wonderful phenomenon, thought that it was in fact a python, and they were fleeing from the spot. But others said, why are you fleeing? It is not possible that a python like this is staying here. This is a spot of beauty for sporting. This is what they imagined. So, we are reading from this particular chapter on this pastime of killing of the demon Agasur. So today we are basically reading these verses that how Agasur, who had been sent by Krishna, who had been sent by Kamsa, he has actually come to kill Krishna and the cowherd boys. In fact, it is mentioned that Kamsanushishta sabaki bakanuja. I was just hearing one lecture of His Holiness Radha Govind Swami Maharaj. He was just mentioning that, like Agasur, the word Aga means sin. Was saying that actually Agasur was not just, it's not that you are just only by name was actually a sinful person. Actually, his whole existence was sinful. Like sometimes a person may have a particular name, but his activity or quality may not correspond to that name. But in the case of like Agasur, his name and his qualities and activities, they actually exactly matched. And it's mentioned that Kamsanushishtam and Sabaki Bakanuja. Sabaki Bakanuja means he is the younger brother of Putana and Bakasur. We see that like sometimes by seeing actually the family background, like sometimes we can come to know about the nature of other members also. Like it's not that it's a general, it's always true, but many times it may be true that suppose by seeing the like father, mother or brother or sister, if they are having a particular attitude, then it's very likely that their associates, because we decide we become whom we associate with. So it's likely that other members may also have similar qualities. Of course, there are exceptions to this rule. So we can see that the brother and sister of Agasur, they were actually great demons. And not only that, Kamsanushishta. Like Prabhupada gives the word-to-word translation as sent by Kamsa. But another meaning of this is that, like he was trained by Kamsa for a long time. So we can see that not only he was very low by his birth, but even his association was like he was trained by Kamsa for a long time. And like especially I would like to highlight on this particular verse, and then if time permits we'll see the other verses. So in the 14th verse especially, the mentality of actually Agasur is mentioned, and also in the previous verse yesterday Nandulal Prabhu spoke that how Agasur could not tolerate that the happiness or the enjoyment of the cowherd boys. So that is one mentality we can see, that Agasur, he could not tolerate that how the cowherd boys were actually enjoying with Krishna. And in this particular verse it is mentioned that Agasur thought, he's saying that this Krishna has killed my sister and brother, Putana and Bagasur. Therefore, in order to please them both, I shall kill this Krishna along with his assistants, the other cowherd boys. So we can see that Agasur is actually selective in his thinking, that he's having a selective mentality in the sense that he's seeing that, oh, this Krishna has killed my brother and sister, Putana and Bakasur, so I will take revenge. I will please my brother and sister by killing Krishna and the cowherd boys. But he doesn't see that what his brother and sister, what they did. He's only selectively seeing that, oh, Krishna killed them. He doesn't see that, oh, what they did. So this is actually this is another like mentality in general of a demon, and especially here we see Agasur. And we can of course this is actually manifested in a very gross way. We will try to see like how it can manifest in a subtle way also. So this Agasur, like, in fact actually this mentality is manifested in many demons. In the 10th canto, when Dantavakra, when he was fighting with Krishna, so Dantavakra, he said, oh intelligent, unintelligent one, I am obliged to my friends, because I'm actually indebted to my friends. So in order to please my friends, like Sishupal, Jarasandha, Shalva and other people who were actually killed by Krishna, Paundraka. So they were all actually friends of Dantavakra. I have to pay my debt to my friends in order to actually show my loyalty to my friends, I'm actually fighting with you. I will kill you. So it seems that the demons, they are having great loyalty to their friends and their family members. But they don't see actually what they have done. It is like being loyal to like Dawood Ibrahim. Something like that. So they don't like what they have done. That's like that. Like for example, like Devamrita Swami Maharaj was mentioning in a class. Like in Italy there is one mafia. So in that mafia, like they are into drugs and robbery and all sorts of things. But they have they talk about, oh, you should be a good family man. You should have respect for your wife. So like here also, like Agasur, it seems he's a good family man. He's having affection towards the family members. And similarly, like even when Jarasandha came to when Krishna and the Pandavas, when they went to meet Jarasandha, they actually disguised themselves as actually Brahmanas. And then they went and asked Jarasandha, actually we want to beg some charity from you. So Jarasandha was thinking that these people, they look like Kshatriyas. He was getting a doubt. They don't appear to be Brahmanas. But still, since they are actually in the dress of a Brahmanas, I will actually definitely give whatever they ask. So then at that time, Krishna disclosed the secret. And he says that actually we are not Brahmanas, we are Kshatriyas. And we have come to actually we want to actually beg a charity of like one-on-one fight with you. And you can please choose anyone among us that we want to actually fight with you one-on-one. So in Jarasandha, when he hears that, like Jarasandha says to Krishna, he thinks that these people, they are so afraid, so they don't want to fight with me as a Kshatriya, so they have disguised themselves as a Brahmanas and they are coming to fight. So that's why he's laughing at them. And then he says to Krishna that, like, I don't want to fight with you because you actually flew from the battlefield. But Jarasandha didn't remember that how he was pulverized by Krishna by 17 times. For 17 times how Krishna defeated him. He doesn't remember that, but he tells to Krishna that, I don't want to fight with you because you actually flew from the battlefield, you are a coward. So demons, they have actually selective mentality. In one class, like Devamrita Swami Maharaj is mentioning, that like in America, in one place, like there was a cat which was troubling a particular bird, just trying to attack a particular bird. So this bird was loved by a certain person. So this person, in order to protect the bird, he actually shot at the cat. So immediately when the cat was shot by this person, all the cat lovers, like they filed a suit against this person, like they started, it was a case in the distance, all the cat lovers, they started arguing with them, how can you kill this cat? And all the bird lovers, they came to his rescue and they actually started arguing with the cat lovers. So they started asking, when he shot the cat, did the cat experience pain? And some other person argued that, did the cat have a owner? Because that cat was like a stray cat. So did the cat have a owner? Because since the cat did not have a owner, so there's nothing wrong in killing. And in this way, back and forth, arguments were going on. And in the meantime, thousands of cows are being slaughtered and they are actually gobbling the cows and other things. So demons are actually selective in their approach. They are actually arguing for the well-being of certain people. And in the meanwhile, they are actually killing other people. So this is actually a demonic mentality, or the selective mentality exhibited by the demons. And for in the case of Krishna, like Krishna is not actually selective. Like for example, in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, this pastime comes that once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that time was Nimai Pandit, so once, after he became a devotee, once he actually assumed the mood of Lord Varahadev, and he called Murari Gupta, and he actually took the form of Varahadev, and he told Murari Gupta that the devotees, those devotees of mine who are attached to the chanting of the holy name, they are so dear to me that I will not tolerate anyone who offends such a devotee. When a person is attached to chanting of the holy name, I will not tolerate anybody who actually offends such a devotee. And then he mentioned to Murari Gupta that actually today I will tell you that even if my own son offends such a devotee, I will not tolerate that offense performed by my own son. And then he quoted the example of how he actually went and killed Narakasur. When I appeared as Varahadev, with the union of Bhumi Devi, I gave birth to this son, Bauma. So I raised him. He was a very good son. But later, because of the bad association, Banasur, he became a great demon. And then I actually went with Satyabhama to kill Baumasur. So Krishna is not selective, seeing that, in actually punishing the demons, even if they happen to be his own family members, if they actually trouble the devotees, Krishna will actually kill them. And in fact, the whole pastime of the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty, one of the important lesson which Hridayananda Maharaj writes again and again in the purport, he says that, I'll just read this purport because it's good to hear these inspiring words. Hridayananda Maharaj says that Krishna actually wished to leave behind a vivid lesson for the living entities of this age, that any so-called religious person, even if he is so exalted as to take birth in the Lord's personal family, cannot violate the respect and reverence which is due to the pure devotees of the Lord, such as Narada Muni. The principle of serving the pure devotee of Krishna is so essential for spiritual advancement that the Lord exhibited the inconceivable pastime of causing the destruction of the Yadu dynasty just to impress this point upon the conditioned souls of Kali Yuga. So Krishna is actually not selective in actually punishing anybody who actually offends a devotee. In fact, Lord Vishnu tells to the four Kumaras, he says that, I'm ready to lop off my own arm if it's my arm is actually found hostile to you. He says that if its conduct is found hostile to you, what to speak of like punishing my own servants, I'm ready to lop off my own arm. Because punishing the servants or the relatives, that is like the conception of mine, who they belong to me. But giving up my own arm means like giving up one's own identity. Like among the conception of me and mine, the conception of me actually is more deep rooted. So Krishna is saying that, Lord Vishnu is saying that I'm ready to lop off my own arm if its conduct is found hostile to you. In fact, if you see that, so this is the attitude of Krishna, that he is not actually selective in punishing anybody if they actually offend his devotees. And in fact, like another aspect, there is again very beautiful verse in the prayers of Prithu Maharaj. We can see this aspect of this attitude of hearing. Prithu Maharaj in his prayers, he says that na kamaye na tadapyaham kvachin nayatra yusmacharanam bujasava mahattamantar hridayan mukachyuto vidatsvakarnayutameshamevaraha. Prithu Maharaj is saying na kamaye nata, I do not actually desire anything, and tadap aham kochin nayatra yusma charanam bujasava, I do not actually desire anything in particular. I do not desire liberation of merging into the impersonal Brahman. And because why I do not desire this? Because nayatra yusma charanam bhujasava. Because in liberation, there is no, we don't get the nectar of hearing your glories. Because there is no nectar of your lotus feet coming from the hearts of great devotees. What kind of nectar which Krishna Maharaj is describing? Mahatta mantar hridayan mukachyato. Because in liberation there is no nectar available in the form of hearing your glories from the mouths of your pure devotees. From your devotees. Mahatta mantar hridayan mukachyato. So Prabhupada and Vishnu Chakravarti, they point out in the purport. Of course, we can see this particular aspect because Prithumara's attachment to hearing, he doesn't want liberation. But he's also mentioning Mahatta mantar hridayan mukachyato. Because there is no availability of the hearing of the Lord's glories from the mouths of the devotees. So Prabhupada says that one should hear the glories of the Lord from the mouths of the devotees. So when we hear the glories from the non-devotees, it is like hearing from the, it is like a drinking a milk touched by a serpent. Like Krishna says in the 17th chapter, food in the mode of ignorance. Yata yamam gatarasam puti paryushitam chayat uchishtam apichamedyam bhojanam tamasapriyam. One of the characteristics of food in mode of goodness is actually that was the remnants of somebody else. That is actually food in the mode of ignorance. And what to speak of the remnant of a serpent. So hearing Krishna Katha from a non-devotee is like a remnant of a serpent. It's like poison. So we can see that Prithumara's attitude of, he's selective in hearing from a devotee and not from a non-devotee. Of course he expresses that he doesn't want liberation because there is no availability of Krishna Katha there. But he's actually expressing this point that he is selective in hearing from a devotee and not from a non-devotee. And so he is mentioning especially Mahatta Mantar Hridayan Mukachyatu. But then he also mentions Vidatsva Karna Yutam Yeshame Varaha. But I want millions of tongues so that I can hear all the Krishna Katha spoken by all the devotees. Because there are so much of Krishna Katha happening in different places, I don't want to miss any of them. So I want millions of years. So Prabhupada, Vishnu Chakravarti writes in the purport, he actually elaborates on this point. He says, give me millions of years because there are unlimited talks of Krishna going on in different places. So I cannot give up any one of these talks, any one of these topics being sung anywhere by any devotee about any subject matter concerning the Lord. So Prithu Maharaj is selective in regards to hearing from a devotee and not from a non-devotee. But he's not selective like in regards to like, oh, which devotee will speak. Let it be spoken by any devotee at any place. By any topic concerning to the Lord. So this is actually the attitude of Prithu Maharaj in regards to hearing. And like another example in regards to preachings, this attitude of selective, like in the 10th canto, when Sukadeva Goswami like describes the rainy season, a beautiful example. He says like the waterfalls in the autumn season, they are compared to the self-realized speakers. The waterfalls in the autumn season, like sometimes there is water in that and sometimes there is no water. So similarly, the self-realized speakers, sometimes they speak and sometimes they don't speak. On the other hand, the waterfalls in the rainy season, they actually constantly give water. So that is compared to the professional Bhagavatam reciters. So they actually indiscriminately speak. They speak subject matter which is pleasing to the senses of the mundane people. Mundane senses of the materialistic people. So they indiscriminately speak. especially the Ras Leela pastimes of the Lord. But the self-realized speakers, they are selective in their preaching. So what to preach to what audience? And should I speak or not? So devotees, they are actually selective in, in their preaching, and they are selective in hearing with respect to hearing from a devotee or a non-devotee, but not in respect to which devotee or which topic concerning the Lord. And like another aspect of this selective attitude is like selective in like rendering a service. Like for example, again, like definitely like in the third canto, when Swayambhu Manu was born, Swayambhu Manu approaches Lord Brahma, and Swayambhu Manu says to Brahma, Tad videhi namastubhyam karmas idiyatma shaktishu yat kritveha yasho vishvak amutrache bhaved gatihi. So Swayambhu Manu says to Brahma, please give us your direction for the execution of duty within our working capacity, atma shaktishu, so that we can actually get fame in this life and progress in the next life. So Swayambhu Manu is actually saying, please engage me in a service within our capacity. And Vishnu Chakravartaku says that, please engage in a service according to my ability. So devotees, so they may be selective in regards to making us rendering a service according to their ability or according to their capacity. And even like four Kumaras, they told Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma requested them to get married and then do the service of expanding the creation. But the four Kumaras refused to marry. So that is not condemned by the devotees. So they act, the devotees may be selective in their service, considering that, oh, this service may not be, I may not be able to render this because of I lack this ability or skill, I don't have the physical capacity. But at the same time, we also see, but devotees, a sincere devotee may not be selective in his service in regards to, oh, this service is in the forefront and this service in the background. Like for example, again the character of Prithu Maharaj, we see that Tatrapi adabhya niyamo vaikanasa susammate arabdha ugra tapasi yatasva vijaye pura. It is described that Prithu Maharaj, after retiring from his household life, he strictly followed the regulations of retired life and underwent severe austerities in the forest. And he engaged in these activities as seriously as he had formerly engaged in leading the governmental office. So previously when he was a king, that time he was in the forefront, he was like giving orders, so that was also devotional service. And now he was in the forest all alone, executing devotional service all alone in the forest, not seen by anyone. But he was engaging in this service with the same enthusiasm as he was engaging previously. So devotee, a sincere devotee, he's not selective in respect to, he'll be selective in doing a service should be according to his capacity or ability, but not selective in respect to, oh, this is in the forefront or this is in the background. In fact, in the 15th chapter, Krishna says in the Gita, Ya evam, what is that, 19th verse, Yomam evam asam mudo janati purushottamam sa sarvavid bhajati mam sarva bhavena bharata. Like one who understands me to be the Purushottam, he actually engages in my devotional service. Sa sarvavid bhajati mam sarva bhavena, with his mind, body and words. Srila Baldev Vidya Bhushan, in his purport, he says that one who knows my position as the Supreme Person worships me in all ways. Or he says that he actually engages in all the angas of devotional service. He doesn't neglect some of the anga of devotional service. Or at least he will not be averse to certain anga of devotional, certain item of devotional service. So in this way, that is the nature of a devotee. And then, like in fact, like another aspect, if we see in the case of like sometimes a person is like selective in following the certain aspects of devotees. If we see in the character of Srila Prabhupada, the great devotees, they actually exhibit different qualities at different times. Like once, some of this pastime is so inspiring, like Prabhupada, I forget which place, it was somewhere in Australia, New Zealand, is there in Prabhupada Memories Volume 2. So he went, he came to the airport, and then when he, so the reporter came to meet Prabhupada. So he asked Prabhupada that, he asked questions that, we heard that your movement is an ascetic movement. Prabhupada said, no, our movement is, like we, our movement is basically, our purpose is to develop love for Krishna. So we actually engage everything in Krishna's service. And then that reporter asked that, I heard that Rolls Royce has come to actually pick you up. So Prabhupada said, so what is because of Rolls Royce? We can use anything in Krishna's service. Actually, what is this Rolls Royce? It is just made of some tin and rubber. A representative of Krishna actually should be taken in a golden chariot, in a golden car. This Rolls Royce is nothing. That reporter didn't expect such a reply. Was completely taken aback. And then he went to the temple. And in the temple was actually a small temple. So devotees had arranged an accommodation for Srila Prabhupada in a, some five-star, some other hotel actually. And then so they told the Prabhupada that we have arranged accommodation at this place. Then Prabhupada said, no, I don't want to stay in such a hotel. It's all right, I'll like to stay in the midst of the devotees. And I can adjust here. So Prabhupada, he exhibited a different mood there. And in the midst of a devotees, he was like a lamb. Lamb at home, but lion at chase. And we see, like even when Prabhupada was, in the character of Prithu Maharaj, it's explained that, like Prithu Maharaj, he was compared to fire in the sense that when there's fire is present, you cannot stop heat and light emanating from fire. It is impossible to stop heat and light emanating from fire. So similarly, no one could actually surpass the orders posed by Prithu Maharaj. But in the same verse, it is explained that Prithu Maharaj was as tolerant as Mother Earth. He was the Mother Earth, the symbol of tolerance. So we actually, so this is actually devotees actually exhibit both the qualities. Like for another quality, which is explained that like Prithu Maharaj was equal to Brihaspati in his spiritual knowledge. At the same time, he was the follower of the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas. So his scholarship is explained, and his submissiveness is explained. And usually, we tend to follow certain aspects of the devotees and we tend to ignore certain aspects. And like for example, like another, again this is a very beautiful example. If you see the character of Uddhav, like the third canto, in fact when Vidura asks different questions to Uddhav about Krishna and Balaram and about the different members of the Yadu dynasty, so immediately actually Uddhav goes into ecstasy. Some Mukurtam, for 48 minutes, he was stunned in ecstasy, he couldn't speak anything. And then after 48 minutes, from the stage of Prema, his heart melted, he came to the stage of Sneha, and then he started speaking. Then all the verses spoken by Uddhav, they were spoken in complete remembrance of Krishna. And in fact, like one of the, in fact, if you read the third canto, second chapter, in the first half, all the verses which were spoken, they were like very unsystematic. Sometimes he was remembering about how Krishna delivered the soldiers in the battlefield, how Krishna showed mercy to Putana, like not in a chronological order. He was just remembering different pastimes. So all those pastimes were spoken in complete absorption. And one of the verses which Uddhav spoke, that actually made Sukadev Goswami a devotee. That is Ahobakiyam Stanakala Kutam. In fact, like Gaur Gopal was sharing, like after one of the Prerana classes, given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. Like one boy, he came and told Gaur Gopal Roy, he was just sharing this. That Prerna class was so inspiring. He said, like, you people, you may give classes with PowerPoint and said 7 points, 8 points, etc. But this class, I've never heard such a class. Like, this class transformed me so much. It's like much more than all of your classes. Like that, he was just sharing this. So basically, the point is, like, when a person speaks something with complete absorption in Krishna, even though it may not be systematic, it actually completely transforms a person. So it doesn't mean that one should not be systematic. But basically the point is that absorption. And that verse spoken by Uddhava, that actually transformed Shukadev Goswami. Because that made Shukadev Goswami a devotee, and who actually later spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. So we see this quality of Uddhava, his eagerness and his absorption in Krishna. At the same time, we also see another quality in Uddhava, in the third canto, fourth chapter, when Vidura asks Uddhava, so can you tell me, what did Krishna speak to you before actually he went back to the spiritual world? Only you and Maitreya Rishi was present. What did he speak to you? So Uddhava says, no, you should actually hear from Maitreya Rishi. In fact, Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport there. He says that, although one may be well versed in the transcendental science, one should be careful about the offense of Maryada Vyatikram or impertinently surpassing a greater personality. According to scriptural injunction, one should be very careful of transgressing the law of Maryada Vyatikram, because by so doing, one loses his duration of life, his opulence, fame and piety, and the blessings of all the world. And the Lord never tolerates the impertinence of Maryada Vyatikram. One should never pass over the honor due to an elderly spiritual master in the interests of one's own personal gain and fame. So basically we see, like, Uddhava's eagerness to follow the Vaishnava etiquette and also Uddhava's eagerness to speak about Krishna. So in fact, like, in one sense, I remember in one of the meetings, one senior devotee was sharing this. It was so, like, his many years of practice of Krishna consciousness. He said that, in one sense, it is actually, after some time, it is easy to actually develop the skill of speaking, but it is actually more difficult to refrain from speaking when actually we are not supposed to speak. So Uddhava exhibited both the qualities. He didn't speak actually when Vidura asked him to instruct. And at the same time, we see that Uddhava's eagerness to speak. Like recently, when you are going to preach to your hostel, so there was something in the notice board. So they have this annual sports. So they have the sport events. One of the sport event was slow bike race. Like slow bike race. Slow bike race means, like, different people will participate. So something like, suppose 100 meter. So in that, the person who comes last will get the first prize. And he has to come to that distance without keeping his foot actually on the ground. Without keeping his, like, because when you, that means, like, you have to drive the bike as slow as possible. When you drive the bike as slow as possible, then after some time, like, you may feel like keeping the foot on the ground, because you may not be able to balance and etc. And if you don't want to keep the foot on the ground, then you have to actually increase the speed. But then you will actually lose the race. So basically, the point is that it is actually easy to win the fast bike race, because we are naturally, like, fast. Naturally the mode of passion ignorance is there. But it's actually more difficult to win the slow bike race, because it actually requires patience and it requires actually more advancement. So actually, if we see the pure devotees, they are actually champions in fast bike race and also in slow bike race. That means, like, They are actually expert in the qualities of passion, patience, and they are also expert in the qualities like in the case of like Vaishnava etiquette, etc., and also in other qualities. So many times if we see, we are more enthusiastic to participate in the fast bike race than in the slow bike race, at least for myself. Like as I remember in one Bhagavatam class some years back, there was some miscommunication, last minute there was no speaker, and Radha Gopinath was asked to speak. So Radha Gopinath started speaking, just last moment he was. Then he began this talk by saying, I pray that I may get the similar enthusiasm one day to do other services also. So that is actually nonsense, nature of a devotee actually. So this is with respect to this thing. In fact, and also with respect to actually in dealing with people, like for example, so devotees are actually definitely deal in respect to preaching, like sometimes a devotee may spend more time with a person who is more influential because he may actually bring more people. Like Prabhupada also said that one should actually go for rhinoceros in preaching. And he mentioned that like sometimes suppose in the army, when there is a war going on, when the Red Cross people, when the doctors go to save the wounded soldiers, they will first save those soldiers who are actually less wounded, because they can cure those soldiers fast, and then they will be of help to actually bring the other soldiers. So similarly in preaching, sometimes one may be selective in preaching to educated people, rich people, with the mood that they can actually bring more, they can bring more people. But in heart of hearts, a devotee will actually want to give time to everyone. But if a person thinks that, oh, because he is rich, oh, he can bring more money, he can bring, if there is a material motivation in that, then there is an agasura element in that. So basically, like agasura element, he's just saying that, oh, he's not seeing the fault in the brother and sister, but he's just thinking, oh, I will kill Krishna. So, but this selective aspect can be, this agasura element can be present in different aspects of devotional service. So for example, like in the attitude of Krishna, like there are different purposes in the Bhagavatam. For example, the sixth canto, when Lord Vishnu appears to Daksha Prajapati, Lord Vishnu says to Daksha, Brahma bhavo bhavantascha manavo vibhudeshwara vibhutayo mamakheta bhutanam bhutahetava. He says that Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the Manus, all the other demigods in the higher planetary systems, and you Prajapatis who are increasing the population are working for the benefit of all living entities. Thus, you expansions of my marginal energy are incarnations of my various qualities. So he says, especially Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport. Here Lord Vishnu is actually equating Daksha Prajapati with Brahma and Lord Shiva. He says that actually Lord Shiva's position is much lower than that of Daksha Prajapati's position is much lower than that of actually Lord Shiva. But still, actually, Lord Vishnu is actually equating him with Daksha Prajapati. He says, Lord Vishnu is saying, Prabhupada says that in the heart of the Supreme Lord, if whether Lord Shiva or Daksha Prajapati, who may be doing an insignificant service, everyone is actually valued by the Supreme Lord in the same level. In fact, another purport in the third canto, he says that any devotee who tries to preach the message of the Lord is considered by the Supreme Lord on the level of Lord Brahma. Lord Vishnu considers such a devotee as confidential as Lord Brahma. So one may be selective in preaching in order to bring more number of people, but in the heart of heart you will actually try to want to actually give even to an insignificant person. So this is actually the another quality exhibited by a devotee. And another thing is, another aspect is, we can learn is actually the rationalization. Here actually, Agasura actually justifying his act. So I will kill Krishna because Krishna has killed my brother and sister. So justification in the Madhurya Kadambini, Shri Vishnu Chakravarti mentions that justification of Vaishnava Aparad is actually, it implicates the person in another Aparad than the Vaishnava Aparad. Somebody, sometimes one may say, okay, if a person commits an offense to the holy name, simply by chanting the holy name, one will get freed from the offense. So why to actually beg forgiveness in the lotus feet of a devotee if I have offended him? If a person thinks like that, this kind of thinking is a rationalization of the offense. This kind of thinking further entangles a person in another offense. So rationalization of an offense actually implicates a person in another offense actually. And sometimes one may rationalize by saying, oh, this devotee has not manifested the 26 qualities of a devotee. So there is nothing wrong in offending this devotee. So Vishnu Chakravarti says that in reply, the scriptures state that even if reprobates, cheaters, hypocrites, pretenders, outcasts and worse take up devotional service, needless to say they are still considered to be sadhus. They must not be criticized for their past, however terrible it may have been. One devotee asked Giriraj Maharaj, is it wrong, is it alright to actually criticize devotee who are having faults? So Giriraj Maharaj said, it is not that spitting out a venom is false, actually having the venom in the heart, that itself is actually wrong. It's not that spitting out the venom is actually wrong, having the venom in the heart, it means having the poison in the heart, that itself is actually a wrong attitude. And just few more points, I'll stop here. And here we see Agasura is trying to actually correct Krishna. Agasura is saying, because Krishna has killed my brother and sister, so I will kill him. I will kill Krishna and the cowherd boys. So what is the, when it comes to correcting, like Prabhupada mentions in the 6th canto, in the episode of Chitraketu Maharaj, Chitraketu Maharaj, he mentions, in regards to correcting, he mentions 3 points. Chitraketu Maharaj, he actually had the right motivation. He thought that how can Lord Shiva, who is actually giving discourse in the topic of renunciation, how can he keep Mother Parvati in her lap, in his lap, and then give discourse on the topic of renunciation to the sages? What will people think of? So he had the right motivation. But then Prabhupada mentions that Chitraketu Maharaj thought that he is in a position to correct Lord Shiva. He thought that because he actually got the darshan of Lord Sankarshan, so he thought that he is actually advanced, he is in a position to correct Lord Shiva. So he mentions that with regard to correcting people, 3 questions are to be asked. First is, do we have the right motivation? And second is, even if we have the right motivation, do we have the authority to correct that person? And thirdly, even if the authority is there, is it the right time to correct? Is it the right time, is the right place? Correcting maybe in the public, or maybe in that also some etiquettes are to be followed. So Chitraketu Maharaj, he had the right motivation, but so basically with respect to correcting, we cannot do immediately. One has to think about these things. But with respect to begging, committing an offense and begging forgiveness, Prabhupada mentioned in the 5th canto, he say in the episode of Rahugun and Jadabharat, the last purport, he says that if a person, it is the duty of everyone desiring to return to Godhead to become submissive like King Rahugan and beg pardon of Vaishnavas, one may have offended. And Vaishnavas are generally very kind-hearted. Therefore, if one immediately submits himself at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, one is immediately cleared of offense reactions. If one does not do so, the reactions will remain and the result will not be palatable. So in regards to begging forgiveness, Prabhupada mentioned that one should not delay, one should do immediately. But in regards to correcting, one has to actually think. And most of the time it happens, like in our case, at least my case, like regarding to begging forgiveness, we actually keep delaying. And regards to correcting, we actually do it immediately. So this is actually, in the case of Agasur, he thought, like, he neither has the authority to correct Krishna, but although it appears that his motivation is proper, but that was also very selective. And he is actually getting implicated in that. And finally, if you see this episode of Agasur, like this demon, many demons killed by Krishna, they actually attained Sayujya Mukti. But few demons like Agasur, he actually went back to the spiritual world. Like Radhanath Swami Maharaj explained in one of the Vrindavan Yatra, it's also mentioned in one of the later purports of Prabhupada. Like Agasur, the reason for he actually getting a personal liberation is that Agasur, for one moment, he felt happy in the association of the cowherd boys. Because when the cowherd boys entered the mouth of Agasur, they were like happily playing. So Agasur, although he could not tolerate the pleasure, but for one moment he exhibited some pleasure. And he actually rendered that service of giving a nice playground to the cowherd boys. So Radhanath Maharaj mentioned that if we actually simply remain happy in Krishna consciousness, so that can be actually big preaching. Because these cowherd boys, they were not some big preachers or something like that. They were just ordinary cowherd boys. They were just happily playing with Krishna. And that happily playing with Krishna, that had the potency to transform one of the greatest demons who were feared even by the demigods who were actually daily drinking nectar. So sometimes some simple devotees who may be just dancing in kirtan, that may have the potency to convert even people who may not come to any lectures. That can transform certain people. On the other hand, sometimes when some big leaders fight with each other, that has the potency to convert an innocent person into a demon. The example is like Prithu Maharaj and Indra. When Lord Brahma comes to meet Prithu Maharaj, Lord Brahma tells Prithu Maharaj to stop the sacrifices. He says that you have actually come to establish religious principles and you are continuing to perform the 100 sacrifices. It is actually encouraging people to take to irreligion. Because Indra was coming in the disguise of a sannyasi and he was introducing more and more irreligious principles. So Indra and Prithu Maharaj, they were actually great leaders. So when two leaders are fighting, that has the potency to make innocent people into demons. And sometimes when some simple devotees, they're happily practicing Krishna consciousness, that has the potency to convert a great demon into a devotee. So that is we see in the episode of Agasur. So to summarize, we actually talked about how this Agasur's attitude of selective mentality, how it can be present in different, this Agasur element can be present in different aspects of devotional service. And we talked about the aspect of justification. And finally, we talked about this, how Agasur was transformed because of the association of the cowherd boys. So I stop here. I am sorry that if my words had found instructive to anybody, I pray that I may be able to follow at least what I speak. Rantanam Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.